joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. I think Jersey's been out in Vancouver, and if you were home at that point, did Jack Hughes create a stir? I guess he would have because he would have been playing Quinn, right?
Yeah, they were. We went to the game, and but you know, Jersey doesn't create a stir really anywhere, right? Like there's, it's kind of like, you know, even when they were winning, it wasn't like it was a must-see or, oh man, the Devils are here. It didn't feel the same as when the Rangers would come in, even if the Rangers weren't the team that the Devils were at the time. And so, yeah, Jack came out, and the reason everybody was all fired up was because he was playing against his brother for the first time in Vancouver. And, you know, he looked 18. He looked just kind of like most young guys look. He's small. He's really agile. He's got terrific hands, but he's little. And, you know, if you're going to be at all competitive at 18, or you're going to be one of those guys that comes out and you're kind of like a man child. You're big, you know, you're heavy at that time, and he's not.
Yeah, and this is in no means me predicting that his career won't take off or anything like that. I mean, there have been a lot of 18-year-olds, first overall picks, that, you know, Joe Thornton had a really tough first year in the league. Vinny LeCavalier didn't light it up. And those were bigger guys than Jack Hughes.
It takes time sometimes.
It takes some time. Yeah. Absolutely. And
if you watch him tonight, is he playing tonight? Is he back in?
I last time I checked, but I don't know that for sure.
That speaks to what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. There's your answer right there. Right?
Yeah. I think he looks a lot like Patrick Kane when he plays. You know, and I like to make comparables to guys that sort of look the same or the same size, and not to say he's going to go on to 1,000 points like where Kane is on the doorstep of, but he's got a lot of that where he'll come over the line, he finds like a little area to cut across the zone, and he's a really good passer, but he looks young. Where the other thing, as we're talking about the brothers, but, you know, Quinn stayed in school for the year after he got drafted. Right, he came out, he was a full year older. And that, at this age, makes a huge difference.
So, Sheldon Keefe was asked about the Morgan Rielly injury earlier today and the message that he wants to send to his team and how they overcome a hurdle like this. And here's what Sheldon had to say earlier today.
The elite teams in the league don't get fazed by these types of situations, and we want to be an elite team. We believe we are an elite team and have the ability to take big steps as a group, and it's a really good opportunity for us individually and collectively to do just that.
So I like that message. He kind of caught himself. We want to be, and then, no, we believe we are an elite team. But he's not wrong in that messaging, and I guess in a way it's a challenge to his group. Yeah, it's a big hit. Morgan Rielly's out for 2 months, but Sidney Crosby missed that much time, and Pittsburgh somehow didn't just survive. They won a ton of games. They're elite. What do you expect out of the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, here's the difference. So Crosby went out, and Malkin came in. Rielly goes out, and Timothy Liljegren and Rasmus Sandin, a couple of teenagers, come in. Like, that's a big difference. Like, I don't know what Pittsburgh's done. I don't know how they've done it. Like, look at their lineup. And there's always three guys in there you've never heard of. that they get them from Wilkes-Barre, they come up, and they do a job for them. You know, they make a trade with Chicago this summer. They get Dominic Cahoon, and, you know, for Olli Maatta. And really, the only name you know in the deal is Olli Maatta. I know Cahoon because I've seen him at the Worlds, you know, for a couple of years. But, man, he's had a fantastic year. Teddy Bluger, same thing. Like, man, where do these guys come from? Well, the Leafs, you can't invent new defensemen to play. Their D was already undermanned, and now without Muzzin and Rielly Rielly long term, like it will be about survival, not excelling. If they have a winning record, a significant winning record without Muzzin and Rielly, I think that's would be astounding.
Well, yeah. It would make you wonder, and I guess we'll find out if they get there. Okay, how did they do it? Like, the most obvious answer is Freddie Anderson became the best goalie in the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most obvious, conventional, the one position that can truly win you or lose you games.
Correct.
But if, let's say, Freddie just plays average based on his standards. Good, you know, quality goaltender, top 10 guy in the league, good goalie. what else has to happen?
They score a million goals?
Well, the guys that you mentioned, like Brian, or Ray, in the last hour, Hayes said, last he checked, the four guys who are making 50% of their cap are in the lineup tonight.
They're still playing.
Yeah, well, and of course they're going to have to dominate the news if the Leafs are going to be a good team while these other guys are out. I'm in Winnipeg today, and you look at their defense, and man, outside of Josh Morrissey, you're going to probably struggle to come up with much on most of the other guys. They're journeyman players: Lucas Pisa, Dmitry Kulikov. They're lamenting that Trevor Poolman is out of the lineup for a couple of weeks, right? Like, their defense is just young guys and guys around the fringes that they're filling in, as they're trying to figure out this Byfuglien mess. Well, that means that Hellebuck, Wheeler, Scheifele, Ehlers, Connor, Laine, they have to carry the team. You can get a game here where you'll get a depth goal or a depth game that the guys do well, but you only have who you have, right? And yeah. So that means that the big boys, they can't just kind of shuffle along. They've got to find a way to tug the team along, and that's hard to do because the most you can be is on the ice for 21 or 22 or 3 minutes, right?
Yeah. Is Sammy Niko, does he not have the most glorious hair in the league?
Oh, Noodle, I was talking to Josh Morrissey today, and Sammy Niko sits down beside me, and I wanted to punch him. I mean, like, I comb my hair with a pork chop, right? And this kid's got hair. It's flowing down. I'm like, oh, I hate
it. Is it a mullet or all one length? I can't
all
tell.
All one length. Oh, no, it's all one length. I was like, look at that.
So like Fabio. It's type of Fabio hair.
Fabio had some silky mane.
Yeah, because that was a phenomenal head of hair.
I don't know if I called that Winnipeg game,
Toronto, right?
Toronto game. Nobody talked about it. This guy was wheeling around out there. You couldn't see his name bar because his hair was. And like, I wanted to bring it up, but I'm like, is that wrong? Like,
you don't really see it, right? Like, there's so many guys in the league that are on the opposite end of it.
Right.
Like, Cassian gets his helmet knocked off twice. And like, he's got nothing cooking up there.
Yeah.
He's got Messier, and that's that, and that's fine. But the opposite, where it's such long,
like it's
like
so
flowing,
long.
Troy Polamalu type hair.
Yeah,
you're like, what is going on here in the NHL?
Now there could be a shampoo and conditioner commercial in this kid's future. Like Polamalu had it, right?
He did. He owned it.
And so, like, there was nobody coming to me for, hey, you should be in our shampoo commercial. That would bankrupt the company.
Yeah, well, that would be a great idea. The complete opposite of who you should have as a spokesman. That would be great.
Nobody's been talking about it, and I've been watching Winnipeg. Ray, you and I were texting. I was watching that game the other day. I'm like, this guy's hair is, it could be glorious. I couldn't figure it out if he had a mullet or not. Like, I thought.
No, it's all one shop, man. He took his helmet off. I was like, look at that.
It's glorious.
Yeah, that is something that very few guys can pull off. Like, it's a big commitment.
Well,
to grow your hair that long, that takes a long time.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah, sure. You really got to be committed.
Yeah. Now, really, should the four of us be critiquing anybody's
No.
hair?
No, no, including me. Like, I just...
Nobody.
Yeah, it's a disaster. The four of us are a mess.
No, but it just... It's such an outlier. Like, that's... And, like, guaranteed now maybe with a little bit of the new world, like, he's not playing for the Islanders. Like, you know that Lou says, get rid of that before you even show up at camp. Like,
Lou's the only guy in the league, I think, that would do that.
But
though,
I wonder, like, Paul Maurice, like, they're watching video of this guy playing in the minors. He's coming up. That's Chevy's like, yeah, we're calling up Niku because there's injuries. And, oh, yeah, well, this guy, we can't see his name bar.
Why do they care?
I don't think they care. I don't think, but it's just... It's so unique that it's jarring.
Well, there always used to be a fighting element to it, right? Like, I don't think he gets in fights. No one really gets in fights where, for the longest time, if you had long hair, if you get into a fight, you're in big trouble. Someone's going to grab your hair and ragdoll.
Right, remember Matt Martin used to have the flow?
Yeah.
Before he came here, and
then Lou said that's enough. But it wasn't like this, man.
No,
it was pretty good.
No.
This guy's flow is on a different level.
Ray, can I ask you a hockey question now?
Sure.
Hey, Jonas, all right, just relax over there. It's not the Athletic podcast. We don't do serious stuff around here.
Well, I'm bringing it back. Okay. So, Ray, you were obviously at the World Juniors. You saw Rasmus Sandin a bunch. What do you... I guess I'm wondering, if you're Sheldon Keefe, you watched that, you watched it yourself, how do you handle like how much responsibility to give him now when you're in need and he's 19? Like, how do you balance those two things?
Well, I think you give him, you know, you've got in your mind how many minutes and who you want him to play against. And then as the game goes on, you're taking his temperature a little bit. And you're like, oh, he's handling this okay. I'm going to give him a little more. And you keep giving him a little more till he runs up against a dead end where it just gets too much for him. Like, he was terrific at the tournament. I thought he was more sturdy than I thought. Now he's playing against the teenagers, right?
Yeah.
But the Leafs feel that too in the American League, that he's stronger on his feet than they thought he was going to be. Like, they're very pleased with that. He does move the puck well. He skates really well. Of course, the age-old question is going to be, what can he handle in his end? Like, when there's a cycle going on, are his feet going to be quick enough to help him defend, or is he going to get physically overmatched? And the only way you know is if you give him just a little bit more and a little bit more till eventually you go, you know what, that's too much. And then you have to back him off. Because their other options, as we know, are not great.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to, I mean, this is an unbelievable opportunity for him. I can't even tell you if he's ready for it. Right? Because playing great in the World Junior tournament and then jumping into the NHL at mid-season is an enormous leap.
Yeah, and tonight, I mean, he's got three games before a break. I would assume they send him back to the Marlies
for their break. Yeah.
Probably for the break.
I would too.
They will for sure, because that also saves cap dollars, right?
Right, yep. Send him back and just, you know, get his feet wet. Then you get a bit of a break again, and you come up, and you're going to play, and you're going to have to play. Zach Cassian yesterday was suspended for two games for ragdolling Matthew Tkachuk and throwing a bunch of punches at him. And, you know, we talked about it at length yesterday, and I think you hit the nail on the head. He should have got five for fighting, and then that's it. Two-game suspension for that, to me, I don't understand it. I don't like it. But he was asked about it today, and point blank, would you do anything differently? Because when he returns after a two-game suspension, they play Calgary.
Yeah.
And here's what Zach Cassian said about that earlier today.
I'd do it again, all over again. I told him since I've been in... minor midget, I've stood up for myself and my teammates. People don't do that to me or my teammates when I'm out there. To me, those are two dangerous hits. If they're clean, they're still predatorial, which is completely fine. I'm a big boy. I love big boy hockey. But if you're going to play big boy hockey, you got to answer the bell every once in a while.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I guess the suspension didn't tone down the temperature.
I know.
This is the thing. Is like, you can set the rules, which the NHL did with this suspension, and it doesn't mean that the guys have to agree to it. And it doesn't mean that, you know, like, okay, there's a road signs all over the place, tells you how fast you can go. People drive faster than that all the time. It's kind of the same thing. The rule is there. The parameters are set, and he's not less pissed off at Matthew Tkachuk today because he got suspended for two games. Like, if there's a chance for him to take a healthy run at him, you know he's going to do it. And that's the game can never be perfect, right? Like, it's never going to be sanitized enough to please everybody. Because when you're in the middle of the game, and Noodles, I mean, you played a position that was pretty individual, but remember how heated you'd get, like, in the game, like how emotionally you're like, you just go through the roof for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I remember that all the time. This rage would come through, and then it was there and then it was gone. And then you go back to the game, and there's going to be emotional moments in the Calgary Edmonton game, because for the first time since I can remember, the two teams are in the same
they're in the same boat fighting for the same playoff spots, and the games are super important. And there's a pretty good chance that this won't be one of those return games that comes up flat.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you agree?
I agree 100%. And I said this yesterday, and Hayes brought up a good point. This was off air, but, you know, Tkachuk, he did this last year to Cassian, and Cassian took a bad penalty, took a double minor, and then Calgary won that game. So that's two games in a row, or two games in their last three or four, that Cassian and Tkachuk have been the issue, and Calgary's taken advantage of it. So I said off air to Hayes, like, Cassian shouldn't be going after, you know, Tkachuk. He goes, okay, my retribution is the next time you even look at me, I'm going after Johnny Gaudreau. And then Hayes goes, hold on a second, McDavid's going to put up his hand and go, well, that's just going to make me fair game. And all I could think of today is I was playing with Tyson Nash in St. Louis, and we had a massive rivalry with Detroit. And we had, you know, they had guns on either side. We had star players, but we had mutants that could back it up, and they had monsters on the other side too. So Tyson Nash starts something with Steve Yzerman, and Joey Kosher comes over and says, okay, well, Brett Hull gets it next. And it was almost like collectively everyone was like, okay, like, let's smarten up here before it gets stupid. I don't know where that's going to get in Calgary, because I could see Cassian taking a run at Gaudreau, and then Tkachuk goes at McDavid. Like, at some point, maybe it just has to be those two that sort it out.
Well, I think that's exactly what has to happen. I think it's in. He may not care, but I think it would go a long way if Tkachuk just said, "All right, let's fight." Now, I think he'd get beat up. Like, that's a tough fight. Cassian is tough, mm-hmm. and he's big,
right?
But he, you know, I everyone loves him. I love him. It always comes with the,
yep,
I take him on my team precursor.
For sure I would.
But he has been trolling players in the league since the second he walked into the league.
Mm-hmm.
With Doughty, now with Cassian. And I think at some point, and this is what Cassian's saying. Cassian said, I'm fine with a predatorial hit. I like right. it. Go for it. But then I'm going to react to it and don't
right.
lay on the ice. So,
but the game is, in my opinion, has changed so far that Tkachuk doesn't feel that he needs to fight. Like
right.
the game is
clearly
so far away from that, right? And so, I don't know what the next steps are, because really, guys, I can't remember something with two players that has kind of spilled over like this in the recent past. I just can't remember it. And so, you're right, Noodles. Like, it spills into the benches because one guy takes a run at one of their better players who
right.
then takes a run at one of your better players. And pretty soon, you know, in the old days, the thing would erupt and then it would be over. I don't know how it will play out, but I can guarantee the NHL will have veteran referees there.
Yeah.
The guys that worked the Stanley Cup finals, they'll be doing that game. Both general managers and coaches will get a phone call from the league, and, you know, they'll be put on warning, whatever that is, you know, hey, we're watching, you know, kind of the warning that you get. But the game is going to be like, it's going to only take a little bit of a spark, and it will be a reminder that you can't sanitize the game when it's inside the walls, because it's hard to explain to people that if they haven't played it, if you've just watched it, but sometimes, like, I can just remember, I use the word rage. It's like, man, somebody's run me over. I think it's kind of cheap, and I'm going to find a way to get that guy back. And at my size, it was a real challenge. But I'm like, I am going to find a way to try and slash that guy's ankle so he goes down.
Especially if it's the same guy every time.
And it is. And that's yeah. that was my point. Like Tyson Nash was an agitator. Steve Yzerman was a superstar. And it got to the point that they're like, guys were just pointing, saying, okay, well, that guy's dead. That guy's dead. And and I remember, I want to say it was Pronger or somebody saying, Nash, you're smarting up. Because all you're going to do is they're not going to come after you. They're going to come after us. So it was either you play it within the lines or it's all hell's going to break loose. I don't know what's going to happen in that.
But in this case, who do you think has more of an obligation to talk to their guy? Is it Goudreau to say, hey, Tkachuk, stop? Or is it McDavid before Cassian does something, say, hey, don't even do it, because then I'm getting it?
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, someone,
that's my point.
If it's on a vet, which team, Calgary or Edmonton?
If the threat comes out, that's why my point is, if Cassian says to the bench, I'm not even dealing with 19 anymore, now it's 13. Now everyone starts to think twice, yeah. And they go, okay, well, we're coming after 97 and 29.
Yeah.
So it may get worse before it gets better. That was my point with it.
It could.
If that happens, could you imagine sitting there and you're Johnny Gaudreau, you're just sitting down the end of the bench, and all of a sudden your name gets brought into this, and you're like, hey.
Well, we saw that. Remember Phil Kessel, John Scott? That's it. Yeah. Feels like, wait, what?
Yeah. Get away from it.
I'm going to chop you twice as hard as I can in the back of the legs.
Well, is there any obligation because of who he is? Zach Cassian is not your typical, 3 minutes a night goon. He scores goals, he plays, he's a legitimate NHL player, but he does stick up for his guys all the time. I wonder if a teammate of his is going to challenge Tkachuk. Like, just for the symbolism of it.
Well, it should be Jujhar Khera or somebody like that.
Or Darnell Nurse goes, Hershep, I'm, like, off the draw, I'm challenging you publicly.
Yeah.
Because my guy would do it for me.
Right.
And then we're just going to punk you all night. Because if you're not going to take on anybody, fine. But that, I wonder if the symbolism of that might come into play as well.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of different ways this could go. At the underpinnings of this, we all should probably remember, as I've said, is like that this sport can be really emotional, and they can make whatever safety nets they want, but sometimes it just bubbles over, and this has a real potential to bubble over. Like when you, Noodles, you said something that reminded me of this old story about the late great, and I say great because he was a fantastic teammate, Dave Semenko.
Yeah.
He was playing in junior, and there was a game that had gotten out of hand. Now, Sammy was in junior about, way back in the day. He was 6'3" and 215 pounds. He terrorized the league. And he went in the other team's bench and walked behind the bench, or in front of the bench, from one door and walked out the other door, and nobody did a thing. Can you imagine that? Like, you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you're like, can I have some tape for my stick, please?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's turned around, right? Yeah.
You immediately look for the trainer. You're like, I didn't even know that he walked through. I would have taken him off.
Yeah, later after he's gone, you're like,
why didn't you make sure I was looking at you when you walked through the bench? Yeah, that is a ballsy maneuver.
It's so, like, and you're so gutless after he's walked out, too. Like, I would have taken him down.
Try that again. Okay. And then you're like, I missed you again.
Yeah.
The other skate lace was undone. Anyway, enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, I'm popping in, so we'll have the game Thursday, so we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it.
From Toronto. Later, guys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They will pay your holiday bills up to $1,000 when you lease or finance a new in-stock vehicle throughout the month of January. Visit MapleToyota.com.